Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Neil Garfield Show, a presentation sponsored by www.livinglies.wordpress.com, GTC Honored, and the law firm of Garfield, Kelly & White, serving all 50 states with news and analysis of the latest bank scams against borrowers, homeowners, consumers, and investors, and providing legal representation throughout Florida. This program is for general information only. It is not a solicitation for services or legal representation and should never be used as a substitute for advice from a licensed professional. And now, here's world-renowned financial expert, attorney, and blogger, Neil Garfield.
As you know, and in Thursday, May 29th, 2014, I am broadcasting from Tallahassee, Florida, brought to you by the Living Lies Web Blog, GTC Honors, AMGAR, offices in Tallahassee and Fort Lauderdale. And we bring this show to you courtesy of your donations to the Living Lies Web Blog from listeners like you. Please feel free to donate again or for the first time. We are continuing with our new format of including live question and answer. If you have a question, just follow the instructions you were given when you dialed in, and you should be put in the queue if I operate the technology properly. If you are at your computer listening in through your computer or by phone, you can ask a question or join our chat room by clicking on the link to the Neil Garfield Show. You'll find that link on the front page of the Living Lies blog. And thank you for joining us on our show tonight. And thank you not only for your donations of money, for your contributions, especially this week, to the facts and analysis presented on my blog, www.wordpress.livinglies.com. Also, you can reach it at livinglies.me, M-E. And remember, if you miss any of our shows, you can always come to blogtalkradio.com and download it. If you want a transcript, we can work something out with that, but it looks like most people have found their own ways of transcribing it now that there's so much voice-to-text technology, which is fine with us. If you want to schedule something with me or one of our experts or analysts, please call 520-405-1688 or 954-495-9867. Those on the West Coast, 20-405-1688 number, and those on the East Coast are encouraged to call 954-495-9867. But you will end up at the same place either way. It's just easier for us to track. So we're going to continue our talk of the basics of securitization, fact and fiction, and then try our question and answer segment again. And I seem to have done okay with that thus far. If you follow the instructions when you call in, I will see it on my studio screen, and I should be able to link you in. Also, it would be helpful if you went into the chat room and told me whatever your question was. Since last week, I have received many comments and contributions from readers of the Living Lies blog and listeners on the Neil Garfield Show. One of the comments was from a lawyer in New York who came up with an analogy that seemed to hit home with the judge. He asked the judge to name the cell phone company that provided cell phone service to the judge. Of course, the judge balked at first, but eventually he got the judge to give him the answer. The judge said that it was AT&T. So the lawyer said, what would you say to Sprint if they demanded money from you from the cellular services that were provided to you by AT&T? He said, you would probably say that you are not a cellular customer of Sprint. Sprint said, but we have an assignment from T-Mobile. You would say that that doesn't make any difference. And if T-Mobile said they had an assignment from Verizon, you would say that still doesn't make any difference. The fact that you are generically a cellular customer does not allow just anybody who provides cellular services to make any demands upon you for payment unless they actually provided you with those services. Now, AT&T can produce statements and, if necessary, electronic records that would clearly show the minutes you use and their fees for providing you with those services for cellular data or whatever. And the only party to whom you owe money for your cellular services is AT&T because you've identified them as your provider, period. So what happens if you don't know who the provider is? Being called a cellular customer doesn't make you the cellular customer of everyone who provides cellular services. Being called a borrower because you received money does not mean you are the borrower or loan customer of everyone who provides loan services. Even if you don't pay your cell bill, only AT&T can collect from you. And even if you don't pay your loan, only your lender can collect. That would be the real creditor, the party that gave you the money. And that's why we ask in discovery for copies of the wire transfer receipts to find out where the money came from, where the real deal was, where the real transaction was. I thought this lawyer from New York had used a pretty good analogy, and that's why I wanted to pass it on. And it did seem to have an effect when he used it in court. When the wrong party goes into court to foreclose on property, it is not sufficient to say that the defendant failed to make loan payments and therefore judgment should be given to the wrong party. The wrong party has assignments from other wrong parties, may create a lot of paper, but it is only paper. The only exception to this rule is in the case of commercial paper, which is being raised all over the place by the servicers and banks and what have you, who are trying to continue the fraud which they started with investors when they first sold them empty, worthless mortgage bonds. Commercial paper is also referred to as negotiable instruments. You may recall that they are governed by state laws that adopt the uniform commercial code. There are differences from state to state, and you need to check with a lawyer in that state who is licensed in that state before you act on anything that you hear from me on this program. So if the wrong party goes into court to foreclose on property, and it's not sufficient to say that the homeowner failed to make loan payments, because whether he did or he didn't makes no difference if you're not the creditor. Therefore, simple logic is that no judgment should be given to the wrong party when you know it was the wrong party to begin with. The fact that the wrong party has assignments from other wrong parties may create, looks like, the greater weight of the evidence is in favor of whoever is bringing this claim. So an endorsement of a negotiable instrument, like a promissory note, if the instrument or note it appears to be valid on its face, it grants the right to the endorsee to enforce that instrument against the maker of the note, which is the homeowner, the person who signed the note, if they get delivery of the note. And, of course, we all know that delivery probably fails in two-thirds of the cases because the notes are nowhere to be found or have been destroyed as potential evidence of what I think is criminal fraud. So if the instrument appears to be valid on its face, it grants the right of the endorsee and the party who has received delivery of the note to enforce that instrument against the maker, but the maker retains all his rights and defenses to assert against the endorsee, including the right to deny that there was any consideration or money received by the maker from the person trying to enforce or anyone in his chain before that. So what does that mean? It means that the endorsee takes nothing by the lawsuit. They can bring it, but they can't win it. The only exception to that would be someone who purchased the commercial paper without notice of any defenses of the homeowner or the maker of the note. If somebody who actually purchases, pays money for the commercial paper or for the negotiable instrument, notice of any of the homeowner's defenses that occurred as a result of deceptive or predatory lending practices or illegal practices at the time of the closing, that person would be called a holder in due course. Article 3 of the Uniform Commercial Code basically contains a longer version of what I just said. Article 9 of the Uniform Commercial Code requires that the mortgage be purchased for value or it cannot be enforced. Depending upon which state you are in, I don't mean a state of confusion, I mean one of the 50 states, these rules would apply. Legislature in each state to adopt the Uniform Commercial Code, subject to whatever changes they want to make. What I have just stated is my understanding of the law in the state of Florida and nearly all other states. Despite some decisions in appellate courts to the contrary, where, as I have discussed this week, I believe that trial courts and appellate courts have gone off the reservation. The endorsee of a promissory note who has not paid for the note or who has notice of the defenses of the homeowner or the maker of the note cannot and should not be enforcing the mortgage or deed of trust. State has adopted the Uniform Commercial Code as I have just described it. The fact that money appeared on the closing table at the time that the homeowner signed papers does not mean that the signing of the papers and the appearance of the money were actually connected. Let me say that again. The fact that money appeared on the closing table at the time that the homeowner signed papers does not mean that the signing of those papers and the appearance of that money were actually connected. That is the job for the closing agent. And the closing agents basically were universally negligent or intentionally, whatever they did, they applied money from a third party to the paperwork that the homeowners signed. This was an illusion created by Wall Street, and it has been working just fine for them for several years. It's time to apply the law the way it was written. Time to stop this fraudulent scheme wherever we find it, including especially when we find it in court. Now, so what I'm saying is not that you never owe the money, but I am saying that to whom you owe the money are in all probability not secured by a real mortgage. That the mortgage was not perfected, in my opinion, in most cases, and never should have been recorded, and that the closing agent was negligent, and the trustees on the deed of trust are negligent, and possibly subject to a lawsuit not only against the trustee organization or company, but perhaps the actual people involved in the trustee might have individual liability. And this fact recently apparent in the majority of states who have non-judicial foreclosure. The fact is that those trustees should be following the law and should not be following instructions of what appears to be a brand new self-proclaimed creditor. And what that means is that the original trustee on the deed of trust probably not been replaced properly and is still therefore legally the current trustee. And that issue should probably be raised in litigation in the Western states. And similar types of allegations should be made in the judicial states, whether it comes to trustee of the trust or some alleged servicer or what have you. So, before we run out of time completely here, let's go to question and answer and see if anybody is actually on. I had some trouble with this last week. Let's see what happens. I've got somebody with area code 585.
That sounds like me, Neil.
That sounds like you. Well,
that sounds like me. I got something great to tell you.
All right.
I beat Wells Fargo in the last week.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. How did you do it?
Well, we have a new rule in New York. Chief Judge requires all the foreclosure attorneys to certify once again that they looked the case over and everything is hunky-dory. And that's what my Wells Fargo attorneys did, what they were supposed to do. But as you might guess, they used it to their benefit, trying to make nice over the mortgage assignments that are as facially bogus as possible. But at the end, they admitted it. The attorney who filed the complaint made a statement right at the outset that Wells Fargo was the owner of the note and mortgage. Well, the second time around, the second attorney couldn't put his name to that. He knew that they were not the owners of the note and mortgage. So he very surreptitiously left those words out. He wanted to change the original statement. Nun duck pro tunk, whatever that is.
Yeah.
So he told the judge, we want to change that statement, but he didn't say we want to change it for that reason. Are you with me?
Yes. Go ahead, and keep in mind
I know that. The bottom line is that he admitted that they had no capacity to start the lawsuit in the first place. And I have been saying this right from the outset because you told me to. And so now the case is over. It's got to be dismissed for lack of a jurisdiction in New York. And I'm happy as can possibly be.
So When was the last time you made a payment on that mortgage?
2008.
And the statute of limitations is what in New York?
I'm not sure if it's 5 or 6. If it's okay. five, I'm home free.
It's 5 in Florida, I know that. Be careful with the statute of limitations, though, because there's some growing attempts on the part of the banks to get courts to say that the statute of limitations is only effective against the payments that were due prior to the point where the statute started to run. And what they're saying is that any new payments that are due are still due, and they can still sue in foreclosure again and again and again. Now, some states actually have that rule that allows that. I don't believe New York is one of them, but Florida has at least one appellate decision that went off the reservation and said something that looks and sounds a lot like that kind of assertion. But congratulations on winning against Wells Fargo.
Thank you, Neil. And listen, this is the reason I wanted to call. Can you refer me to a New York attorney? Or
actually, my staff can. If you will call 520-405-1688 or 954-495-9867. The numbers are also on the blog.
Because I've already filed a motion for damages. I just have no idea how much damages.
You need a regular, licensed, experienced lawyer who knows what he's doing. And while you were lucky on this turnaround, I do not recommend that anybody go pro se or with some friend of a friend who thinks they know how to draft pleadings or anything that. This is all coming down to courtroom work, and people who are experienced in the courtroom win, and the people who are not experienced in the courtroom do not win. So thank you for calling, and I have to move on to the next caller.
Okay, Neil, thanks again.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling in. And now we go to caller with the first the code of 732.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, this is Susan.
Hi, Susan. How can I help?
It's a pleasure to talk with you. I read your work every day, faithfully. I did order a securitization search with you. I hope that you received all the stuff I sent you.
I'm sure that we have and that we're processing it if it's recent, or that we've already finished it if it's not recent.
Because I have a court date next week.
Okay. Well, if you call one of those numbers and make sure that you make that point, we'll make certain that it goes to the front of the line.
Yeah, I spoke to your daughter last week, but I've been trying to call people, and I haven't been able to get through to anyone. I really don't want to take up your airtime with that.
Okay, but it was important.
I have like 5 million.
I understand.
I have 5 million. Let me think. When I have the note, they have 3 copies, and the 2 that they're presenting didn't have any endorsement. Now I'm in federal court, and a different attorney is presented a note with 2 endorsements without recourse. But they were all done after the companies no longer existed or were licensed in New Jersey.
Right. We see that a lot. These are often fly-by-night outfits that
countrywide.
They no longer exist. And in some ways, it never existed. And certainly not in the way that people thought. It was not giving loans out of its own, money. It was not a depository institution. It was not a lending institution. It was, in effect, an aggregator for channeling the funds of investors into the REMIC trusts. But what exactly is your question?
Now, did Countrywide always, did they always sell to the REMIC? Is there a chance that they didn't?
Yeah. There's virtually no chance that they didn't. I can't say 100% of, that there's not a single loan out there. But if it's Countrywide, it is my opinion, it is securitized, and I think every expert witness and forensic analyst would agree with that.
So
I
now,
does
it go under UCC 8, 3, or 9, since they securitized it? UCC 8?
That has nothing to do with securitization per se. It's UCC Article 3 and 9 are what govern those transactions. Caller on area code 650.
Hi, Neil. Ken Jensen calling again.
We only have a minute and 41 seconds.
Who is the attorney that I can call in California for a consultation?
Okay, you can get that information by calling our number 520-405-1688. It changes over time. Charles Marshall, if it's Northern Florida, is a good choice. Many of these lawyers get overloaded in their caseload, and they ask me to stop referring to them. So I can't tell you for certain who the current ones are who still have the room and ability to take on new cases right now. But if you call that number, 520-5168, we'll give you the names of lawyers that we think might take your case. And we provide litigation support if they want it, expert witness support if they want it, and there are other experts in California and elsewhere who can assist in your litigation. Unfortunately, we are at that point where we're running out of time. Thank you for calling. And I want to thank everybody else for listening in. Appreciate, as always, the feedback and the support that you're giving to us in this effort to turn back the largest in human history.
Thanks for listening to our broadcast. We hope that you tell your friends about us and let them know that there is hope and help in this financial crisis. Tune in every week to The Neil Garfield Show for free information and advice, and visit our blog daily at The Living Lies Blog. We provide support services, the latest strategies, analysis, expert consultations, testimony, and declarations to use in your battle against the largest economic crime in human history. For information concerning Neil, the team at Living Lies, or the law firm, go to www.livinglies.wordpress.com or call 520-405-1688. The opinions expressed on this broadcast are those of the host and should not be attributed to any other person or entity.